Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest and greatest in nerdy news and trending nerd topics. Explicit content warning, this content may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. So you have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy beeps? What's going down, everybody? Hope everybody has had a grand old week and weekend now that it is Sunday. You know, like we said, it's the Nerdy News Podcast. So, Christian, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
That's great. That's good. That's great that you're doing good. I'm all right.
Good.
Yeah, so if you guys didn't get a chance to check it out already, we have published another podcast this week, you know, our Film Review Friday podcast, dealing with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Fire.
And just, you know, a little bit of announcements. This next week, Black Panther movie comes out on Thursday. So first off, you need to make sure that you guys have no plans for Thursday. You guys got to make sure that you guys go and watch the film. So then that way you guys are ready to hear our thoughts on it. You know?
Yeah. And if not, you know, you can listen to the podcast at any point in time ever. You know, it'll live forever up there.
We will live on.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that. So, yeah. Do you have anything else to say before we, you know, news it up?
Nah, I'm all right. I'm all right. Don't got no announcements or nothing.
Brilliant. Let's news it up.
This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studio. Christian, back to you.
All right, cool. So, we had lots of trailers. Trailers. Everywhere trailers.
Trailers, trailers. Everywhere some trailers.
Yeah, so first trailer, Ant-Man and the Wasp. We have small things coming big, and we have big things going small. What do we do?
Who knows?
Yeah, it was a pretty good trailer. Pretty decent-o.
It didn't give away too much. Looked like a pretty fun film, to be honest with you. Pretty good trailer. In just the sense that it didn't give too much of the plot away. I love all the graphics that they added to it, you know, with like how they design the lettering.
The logos and stuff. Yeah, very comic booky. And then also, you know, it's kind of dealing with the aftermath of Civil War where Ant-Man, you know, is still considered like a criminal.
A traitor.
Well, he's always been a criminal, right? But yeah, he's. So the FBI are like investigating him and stuff, and they're all in hiding and whatnot. So, and Ghost is the villain, that guy, that dude in white. That is Ghost. There you go.
And Wasp gets her costume, and it's epic, and she has blasters and wings. And, you know, Hank Pym could have done the same for, you know, the current Ant-Man, but he didn't.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, Scott. Baskin-Robbins would have known. So,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, definitely looking forward to that movie. Comes out this year, July, I believe. Next trailer, Deadpool. Dun, 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 Deadpool 2. Do-do-do-do-do. Cable. Ha-ha.
Fourth wall. Let's go.
Yeah. No special effects on his arm. Yeah.
And I just love how they threw the jab into fucking Justice League with Henry Cavill.
Yeah, it's not like removing a mustache digitally. Yeah. That's a good one. Nice. It's a fucking good one.
Zinger right there. Yeah, I mean, it looked good. You know, we'll have to see. Wait and see. Watch the movie. See if it lives up to Deadpool 1. It's a large task.
Yeah,
let's
see
if they can get a little repeat action going on.
Yeah, I mean, I have faith in it. I think it looks good, you know? It looks good. I did see quite a bit of people this week confused. All right.
Why?
If you guys don't know, right? This is Fox. This is still Fox. Oh, Jesus, my chair just, you know, fell. But yeah, this is still Fox, and the Marvel thing at the beginning, every Fox superhero movie that is a Marvel Comics property and every Sony superhero movie that is a Marvel Comics property will say Marvel at the beginning of the movie. That is because they are properties of Marvel Comics, not because they are being done by the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is owned by Disney. They are separate. So if you were confused about that, now you are not, hopefully. So... All right.
What the hell, guys? Pay attention.
Yeah. So, next trailer, the Venom trailer. I didn't like this trailer at all.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a fine trailer. I mean, it doesn't show Venom, but
so, to me,
does,
if you didn't know it was Venom, you showed it to some random person, they would have no idea.
Well, I mean, they showed the silhouette of Venom and turns it into a V at the end, and it had Marvel stuff in the beginning. How can you not know it's Venom, dude?
Well, I'm talking about the content of the trailer, not like, you know,
okay,
the logos.
Okay, but they don't
and...
have to sit there and show Venom. Like, it's fine, guys. And so, and I like the way they did it anyways. I like it because, for a couple of reasons, it looked like a different kind of movie, first off. Not just, you know, the typical comic book movie that we might be accustomed to. You know, if you are familiar, you know what's in the little container. It's the symbiote. And, you know, and it leaves something to the imagination. I'm very fond of this trailer for that reason. It leaves something to our imagination that we're not getting the plot. We're not getting, you know, what exactly this guy is going to be doing in this movie. You know who the main character is, obviously. And you do get, like, when he's like, oh, yeah, and then your body will go through a change. And, like, the like his, like, body started, like, convulsing. And, like, you could see the black veins coming up his neck and stuff. There are subtle cues in there to let you know that it is Venom, but... I mean,
I think it's just underwhelming for me. I think it's a little tone deaf of Sony not really knowing what their audience wants. But I mean, I can understand.
I totally disagree,
you know,
with that.
Value.
I don't know. I totally think tonally they know exactly where they're going with it. I just think it's a different kind of movie that maybe not everybody's going to approve of. I don't think people like the fact that Spider-Man's not going to be in the movie. I think, you know, people don't like that the first trailer doesn't show Venom, that, you know, you got to actually think outside the box and, you know, think about what the movie can possibly be about. And I appreciate that because, you know, and you know my stance on the whole over-marketing thing, but in this day and age, everything is marketed to 1000%, you know, and something like this, like, it really does leave a lot to for you to think about and a lot of, like, left up to the imagination. I thought it was a brilliant trailer.
Yeah, I can understand the you know, appreciation for that. For me, it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't do what I would want it to do, but it has no real implication of what the film will be. Like, most trailers don't, like, they'll try to mislead you or they'll do things, whatever. But, you know, because I think this trailer was terrible does not mean the movie will be terrible. And I just think that, you know, a lot of people were hoping to see Venom in the trailer. And
well,
by Sony not doing that, I think they've pissed off a lot of people, which is to me why I think it's a little tone deaf to not have done it. But
I think more than likely a lot of this movie will be about, Do we know what version of Venom it is?
It's Eddie Brock.
Is it okay? I wasn't sure if it was Eddie Brock or not, but I think a lot of the movie is going to be about character building for Eddie Brock, and then he'll probably be, you know, somewhere in, like, probably the midpoint of the movie, he'll probably get the suit.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, I
think it'll be an hour of no Venom suit, but we'll see. But I didn't read a lot of, like, comments on this trailer or anything, but when I was watching it, I was thinking a lot of people are gonna complain and compare it to Deadpool and say, oh, look, it's just another guy walking down the street who has cancer. I mean, you probably don't know he has cancer based on this trailer, but, you know, some kind of medical condition, and then he becomes a hero, blah 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 blah. Venom's not a hero, but you get the
right point.
A lot of people are, I think people are, might draw that comparison with Deadpool. Just don't, just wait to see the movie. I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
anyway, Krypton coming to sci-fi in March. TV
I was
series.
Overly fond of this trailer.
It was a good trailer.
Yeah, this was a great
before
trailer.
Before I watched it, I thought, I don't care about this. I don't care about this at all. But then, you know, like, it sets up the story where it's like Brainiac is coming from the future to,
yeah,
and he's going to be the one who tries to take down Krypton, and the grandfather of Superman is like, well, you know, we're going to be remembered for saving Krypton, you know, or preserving Krypton in order to make it so that Kal-El can be born and, you know, become the future savior of Earth. And I thought it was all very interesting. Yeah,
I mean, it definitely captured my interest a lot more. I was a little scared with, you know, coming to, like, sci-fi, dealing with, you know, something of this nature. And it kind of did have me nervous, you know, because sci-fi is generally not a successful company. When it comes to TV shows, they don't, it's not like they have long-standing television series, you know, just out of my head, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there are some.
Yeah, they've had them in the past, but now they're more known for, like, terrible things like Sharknado. But I'm pretty sure sci-fi did, like, Farscape, and they've done, like, Stargate, they've done
Okay, Stargate, fair enough, you know, that's fair enough, right? But even that, like, I didn't really care for Stargate, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't like it. But I mean, I don't know. It's like, but then the trailer came and I'm like, oh man, I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for it. I can't wait. Who do we think, was the guy that came to the future to talk to,
was it Jimmy or was it,
I had the same thought. I was like, is that supposed to be Jimmy Olsen? I was like,
But you know, then you'd think, why wouldn't Superman just go do that? You know? Or like, you know, that's a story that would happen is like Brainiac, you know, in a Superman comic, Brainiac would go back in time and try to do this. And then Superman would go back in time and stop him, you know, like, so it's very interesting to shift that to like putting it in the hands of the people of Krypton. Like, you know, what Superman doing that he couldn't have stopped that, you know, whatever. So,
right. But yeah, no, definitely excited about it. I'll at least give the series a chance with an open mind. And not so close-minded as probably previous that I would have went into it. But, yeah, definitely excited for it. Definitely excited.
Yeah. Jessica Jones also coming out in March 8th to Netflix. I mean, the trailer is all right. I mean, I'm excited for the series regardless.
Oh, yeah.
Looked
pretty intense, though.
Yeah, we got hints at Purple Man. You know, we got hints at her origin, how she got her powers, and then, obviously, Patsy Walker becoming Hellcat, pretty much. A lot of people are gonna fucking die, it looks like. Yeah. So very interesting, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, definitely should be another good season of Jessica Jones. I would argue with anybody that said that the first season was bad. I'm sorry, you don't know good writing when you see it then, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe because it's a slow burn for some people or whatever, but there's so much tension there, you know, and it's like, it works, but yeah. Last trailer was the Han Solo trailer for Solo, A Star Wars Story. We see Lando, who's played by Donald Glover. We see Kira, who's played by Emilia Clarke, who's also Daenerys Targaryen, if you didn't know. Chewbacca, Woody Harrelson's character, and Aaron Alden-Reich, or whatever the fuck his name is, as Han Solo. I know you hate Han Solo, the character. What did you think of the trailer?
I don't like it at all. And it literally has nothing to do with my dislike for Han Solo. I feel that at this point, Han Solo is much more romanticized as a hero than he actually was in the story. Like, he was always described as a scoundrel, you know, somebody for hire. And you even got that in the first movie. And, you know, Leia and Luke kind of change him as a person as you go through the story.
Right.
And he does become the hero or a hero. But this had a tonal evidence that it was like, oh yeah, he seems like he's the hero and all these things. Obviously, you can't really know too much because, I mean, you don't know what exactly is going to happen, but it's like, I much rather have gotten like the idea that, you know, he's just, you know, doing things for hire and, you know, he is that scoundrel, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
I don't know.
Did
I just didn't like it.
I mean,
I didn't
like
it.
His overture, his voiceover, he's, you know, talking about getting kicked out of flight school and being, you know, a scoundrel kind of, and, you know, he'll take jobs for money and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think they're setting up for him to be the quote unquote hero. I think what we've done now in this day and age is romanticize anti-heroes and romanticize, you know, these people that aren't, you know, the purest of heart, but they're still good people. They just make bad choices, and we're doing Venom, and we're doing Joker and Harley, and we're doing all these villain movies, guys, because that's what people want, when it's really fucking not. I don't like the idea of that. Like, Han Solo is a film that, sure, some people might want. I don't think it needs to happen. A lot of people might say the same thing about Rogue One when that came out, or Obi-Wan, or all these things, but if these movies do well, then we'll get more movies that we do want to see, hopefully. And
no, it's
will.
True. I'm
they
not
will.
Saying that I want it to fail, but I don't think I'm going to like the movie, to be honest with you. I just got the feeling from that trailer, I was just like, they're almost kind of, you know, playing them up to, you know, be like this sort of kind of hero. I want to be the best in the galaxy, and I'm putting together a team. Would you like to be a part of it? Oh, what the fuck is this team? What the fuck is happening? You know, it's like, I got super excited to see Donald Glover as Lando, you know, young Chewbacca. Pretty exciting stuff there. And, you know, but it, I was just, I don't know, man. Like, the way they kind of, I don't even really like the look of that guy. He doesn't really look like a young Han Solo to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think
at first he kind of did.
The
but
more
then,
you look at him, maybe the more you see it or the less you see it. I don't know. I don't know, like, if the look of the characters will be that important, but I get what you're saying. I think the trailer makes me feel a little bit better about it than I did before the trailer.
I feel worse about the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair enough. It's fair enough, but I mean, we'll see what happens. The movie will still make a shit ton of money, and people will see it, even though they hate every Star Wars movie that's ever come out past the original trilogy. They'll still pay to go see it, so.
Right.
So Shazam has begun production. Venom has wrapped production. And Stan Lee was rushed to the hospital a couple weeks ago with an irregular heartbeat and shortness of breath, but he's doing well now. He's put out a reassuring statement. He's home. He's 95 years old, so who knows how long he'll be around.
Not ready
but,
for that. Yeah. Let's move on. I'm not ready for that.
The immortal Stan Lee.
I don't know what that was, all right. But all right.
So, first bit of full news. Despicable Me writers to adapt comic book series Birthright for Universal. The Hollywood Reporter brings word that Universal Pictures has picked up the rights to the comic book series Birthright from Image Comics and Robert Kirkman's Skybound. Despicable Me writers Cinco Paul and Ken Dorio will pen the script for the film, which has Kirkman attached to produce. Robert Kirkman is a phenomenal writer, guys. If you don't read anything he's done, read him. Check out East of West. Check out some of the Avengers stuff he's done. And check out God is Dead. Do those things. In Birthright, I suppose. I haven't read it. I'm just telling you the news. Based on the comic written by Joshua Williamson and drawn by Andre Bresson, Birthright begins like a traditional tense drama as the Rhodes family finds themselves looking for their youngest son, Mikey, who has gone missing. After a year of searching with nothing to show for it, a fully grown and Conan-like man appears, claiming to be their son. Mikey reveals in the year he was away that he was in a fantastical land called Terranos, where time moves quicker, and that he's only been able to return home now that he has defeated the tyrannical God King Lore in the other world. But things are not as they seem, as more things from Terranos begin to make their way into the real world, bringing magic and destruction. Part family drama and part fantasy adventure, Birthright was first published in October 2014 and is still releasing new images through Image Comics. Okay. David Alpert, Brian First, Sean First, and Jeb Brody will produce the film. To me, this just sounds like the season of Angel, where his son came back from the other dimension.
Right. It sounds awful. I have no interest in this. I won't watch it. I'll be honest. I probably won't watch it. In some other news, HBO chooses Nicole Castle to direct the pilot for their Watchmen series. Director Nicole Castle from Leftovers and Westworld has been chosen by HBO to helm the pilot for Damian Lindelof's upcoming Watchmen series, according to Deadline. Nicole Castle is known for directing an episode of The Leftovers, which is a Lindelof series, Westworld, and an upcoming Castle Rock. She will be executive produce the project with Lindelof. She is also known for her first feature, The Woodsman, and the Watchmen series has received an order for backup scripts, originally produced as a 12-issue miniseries beginning in 1986. Watchmen quickly became one of the sequential art's most acclaimed stories. Zack Snyder, a future adaptation of Watchmen, meanwhile, was released in 2009 and brought in just $185 million at the worldwide box office. The cast includes Madeline Ackerman, Billy Crudup, I hope I said that right, Matthew Goody, Jackie Earle Haley, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Carl Guccina. And Patrick Wilson. Since the film's release, DC Comics released an extensive Before Watchmen comic line telling the stories from the past of the central characters. More recently, DC Comics has made an effort to integrate Watchmen into the broader DC multiverse. Lindelof, who's The Leftovers recently concluded in season 3 run, is best known for co-creating the hit ABC series Lost. His contributions to the big screen include scripting films like Prometheus and Tomorrowland and Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, should be good. Should be good. I know pretty much almost none of that stuff that they've worked on, but okay.
I didn't know Watchmen made so little money.
Wow. Yeah.
That is remarkably low.
That is remarkably low, considering it's so good.
Right? I mean, I love it. But anyway, Kevin Feige says Marvel Studio Fox merger won't happen soon. While the mega merger between Walt Disney Company, which operates the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and 21st Century Fox, which controls the X-Men and Fantastic Four rights, won't happen for another 18 months due to legalities, fans expect MCU head honcho Kevin Feige to already have a plan in place. In fact, he does not, and he told Vulture during promotions for Black Panther that he wasn't even in the loop on the deal until after the fact. I read about it in the press like most people did. These are big deals and certainly above my pay grade. Well, Feige has famously indicated in the past that Marvel Studios has contingency plans in case any wayward characters like Fantastic Four, X-Men should find their way back to the House of Ideas proper. He states, perhaps coyly, and there has been zilch planning about the repercussions of the merger. The truth about the matter is, as I understand it, is like the deal has to be figured out. There's been no communication. We're not thinking about it. We're focusing on everything we've already announced. If and when the deal actually happens, we'll start to think more about it. Until then, we have a lot to do. It would be years away. We've announced everything through 2019, so none of those would be adjusted. I think about it through 2019, through the movies we've already shot or are about to start filming. I'm hoping to deliver on everything we've promised thus far. The current state of the MCU after Black Panther opens on February 16th, which should be awesome, is fairly clear. This year, Avengers Infinity War will open May 4th, 2018, followed by Ant-Man and the Wasp 2 months later on July 6th, 2018. The Captain Marvel movie starring Brie Larson, which just began filming, will kick off next year's crop on March 8th, 2019. The untitled fourth Avengers film, which just wrapped shooting, will open May 3rd, 2019, thus ending Phase 3 of the MCU. Phase 4 will likely kick off on June 5th, 2019, with John Watts' untitled Spider-Man Homecoming sequel. And beyond that, the only other confirmed film is James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which will open sometime in 2020. A Black Widow solo movie is also being mulled over for 2020 release, with Jack Schaefer reportedly penning the script. Given that Marvel has begun releasing three movies a year, expect at least one unannounced film to fill that third slot for 2020. Other films beyond the Fox-Marvel merger that could fill those dates include Doctor Strange 2, and because we know Marvel would never leave a trilogy hanging, likely an Ant-Man 3. On pure speculation, given how huge Black Panther is expected to open, don't be surprised if Black Panther 2 gets announced as well, granting Marvel their own James Bondian franchise. There have also been rumors of Blade being integrated in the MCU proper, but we will have to see if that happens.
Yes.
Yeah, so pretty much he hasn't said anything we don't know. We talked a couple weeks ago about this, to just to clear things up, that, you know, 18 months is like the expected litigation. If it doesn't happen, they're not going to make plans for it. But if it does, I'm sure he has ideas. I'm sure.
Right. I mean, what a coy little fucker, too. Well, I'm only thinking through 2019, which is like a year away.
You know, I planned this whole thing. We've been doing this for 10 years, but I'm only thinking like 1 year ahead right now.
Yeah, sure. So, Metropolis series ordered for DC Digital Network. Warner Brothers Television and DC Entertainment have announced another live-action series for their upcoming DC Digital Network, with Metropolis set in the wondrous and awe-inspiring city of tomorrow, before the arrival of Superman. Metropolis follows Lois Lane and Lex Luthor as they investigate the world of Fringe science and expose the city's dark and bizarre secrets. Production on the series will begin later this year with the 13 episode first season to debut in 2019. Gotham executive producer John Steffens, who worked on Gossip Girl, The OC, and Gilmore Girls, and Danny Cannon, who worked on CSI series and Nikita, are the executive producers of Metropolis. Cannon will direct the first episode from a teleplay by Steffens, and with a story by the pair based on the characters created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, published by DC, and Metropolis is produced by Warner Brothers Television. The Order for Metropolis marks the fourth announced series for the DC Digital Service, which will deliver an immersive experience designed just for DC fans. Additional programs, including Warner Brothers Television live-action drama Titans, as well as Warner Brothers animated Harley Quinn and Young Justice Outsiders, the DC-branded direct-to-consumer digital service will officially launch later this year with Titan and Young Justice Outsiders. No official launch date or pricing has been announced for the service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does this interest you at all?
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know if this is just more tone deafness from big companies, but I don't know. Not a fan. Not a fan of that.
So. I don't like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so next bit of news. American Gods Season 2 gets Jesse Alexander as a new showrunner. American Gods Season 2 has a new showrunner, Jesse Alexander, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Brian Fuller and Michael Green left the series after the first season. Alexander will reportedly work with the novel author Neil Gaiman on American Gods Season 2. Alexander is known for working with Fuller on Star Trek Discovery and Hannibal. Gaiman told the site, oh god, he's English. I'm thrilled that Jesse is the showrunner. He loves and understands the book, he loves and understands the TV series, and he's dedicated to making future seasons of American Gods as good and as beautiful and as unique as they can be. Shadow's journey is going to take him and Mr. Wednesday and the new gods and the old to some very strange places. I'm glad that we and the cast and crew will have Jesse shepherding us on the way. Brian Fuller and Michael Green created the adaptation of the novel American Gods and served as showrunners and executive producers. Fuller is also known for his work on Hannibal, Pushing Daisies, and Star Trek Discovery. Green is also known for his work on Logan, Blade Runner 2049, and Alien Covenant, as well as the series Smallville.
Ew.
That's one of our buzzwords.
Smallville. Yeah, baby, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, first season was good, except for the last episode that we haven't watched yet, because, you know, anyway, I like American Gods, so we'll see what happens. The book is great.
Okay, so here's some maybe news. Michael Bay could direct the Lobo movie. The rap reports that Warner Brothers and DC Entertainment have their eyes on Michael Bay to direct their long-in-development Lobo movie. They know that Bay met about the project and offered some notes that screenwriter Jason Futches, I think that's how you say it, who worked on Wonder Woman, will incorporate into the new draft, which they will present to Bay, hoping to make a deal. Warner Brothers is also reporting thinking of Lobo as their answer to 20th Century Fox's Deadpool franchise. Both characters are anti-heroes that developed a cult following in the 90s, and they both like to break the fourth wall with a frequency. Deadpool smashed the box office records and brought in $783 million worldwide, higher than three of WB's five DC feature films. This guy's just going back and forth. Bay made his feature debut with Bad Boys and has built a career around stylized action movies, including all five Transformers films, plus 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, Pearl Harbor, Armageddon, and Pain and Gain. Hey, I like that movie, by the way. He currently isn't attached to direct any other projects, created in 1984 by, Roger Slifer and Keith Griffin. Lobo is a, I don't know how to say that. Kazarnian? Originally.
Kazarnian.
Yeah. Bounty hunter who is nearly indestructible anti-hero, drives a space-faring motorcycle across the cosmos in search of his next target. The character, oh my god, what happened? Jesus, I don't even know what happened. Sorry about that. The character has fought some of the most powerful members of the DCU, including Superman, Hal Jordan, Martian Manhunter, and Deathstroke. Some versions of the character have erred on the side of the sillier tales, seeing the character take down his fourth grade teacher and even the big man himself, Santa Claus.
Yeah. Lobo's great, and I think a Lobo movie would actually be quite enjoyable. To be fair, I don't know if Michael Bay is the right guy, but you know, I'm sure it'd be very explodey and stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be pretty fair movie. I just think it's the way this guy, the way the writer in this article kind of phrases everything, he's intentionally trying to like generate talk on the article and stuff and really trying to drive the comparison of DC, EU and Marvel, you know, specifically talking about Deadpool and, you know, really trying to live through that rivalry. And, you know, it's just, they're not the same character. I mean, yeah, they might kind of try to be the same character, but they're not. I don't think Lobo is anywhere near what Deadpool is or can be. I mean,
right. Yeah, I mean, Lobo is, I like Lobo, and he is a fairly popular character. He's nowhere near as popular as Deadpool, and, you know, the teeny boppers that went and saw Deadpool are not going to go and see Lobo, probably. But
probably not.
Whatever. Final bit of news. Joaquin Phoenix is in talks to play the very unnecessary movie called The Joker. According to Variety, acclaimed actor Joaquin Phoenix from Her, The Master, Walk the Line, etc., has agreed to play the Joker in the origin movie that The Hangover's Todd Phillips will direct and Martin Scorsese will produce. However, negotiations with Warner Brothers Pictures and DC have yet to begin, despite Phillips making it known that Phoenix is the top choice. Leonardo DiCaprio was previously considered but took himself out of the running. If this deal isn't closed, then Phoenix is not a sure thing, of course, considering his history of turning down comic book roles. In 2010, he was Marvel's top choice to play the Hulk in The Avengers and was again courted by the studio for an extended period of time to play Doctor Strange. He also turned down the Lex Luthor part in DC's Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. He'll next be seen in Gus Van Sant's Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. The Joker origin film will likely be a gritty, hard-boiled crime film set in an early 80s Gotham City, meant to evoke the grounded feel of Scorsese's films like Taxi Driver. It will be the first film under a new banner that Warner Brothers has yet to name, but which will expand the canon of DC Comics properties and create unique storylines with different actors playing the characters. Todd Phillips is currently co-writing the script with 8 Mile Scott Silver and will co-produce with Martin Scorsese. There is no tentative release date. Joaquin Phoenix didn't do these other movies, guys, if you didn't know, because he didn't want to commit to multi-film deals with studios. The Joker movie probably won't be a multi-film deal because if it is the origin story, it'll probably just be that, and then they'll go back to whoever they want for the other movies. I'm sure Jared Leto is not coming back because he looks much younger than Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know how they're going to make this work, but whatever. I don't really care.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, definitely unnecessary solo film. Sure, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't, okay. I don't really give a shit.
Like, is this their thing? They're just throwing ideas on the wall. Let's do Lobo. Let's do Joker. Let's do Harley Quinn and Joker. Oh, you know what? This is our answer to Deadpool. Well, guess what, fucking guys? You're not going to fucking beat Deadpool. Like, just
yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah,
like,
definitely not.
I don't get it. Like, you've made movies that, like, could have been rated R, like BVS, and that wasn't going to be your answer to Deadpool. I know they came out the same year, but still, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what Warner Brothers is doing. I don't know what they're thinking. I just think they're fucking dysfunctional and need to knock their shit off and just get some real fucking, you know, direction. Like, they have no direction. They have no identity. They don't know what they're doing. And I'm getting tired of it, to be honest. Like, good job. You made Wonder Woman. What the fuck else have you done, you know?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think that's all the news that we have for you guys this week. Anything else to talk about?
Yes, that's all the news. That's all of it. All of it.
All of it? All of it? All right, guys. So, as always, make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. We also have an awesome website designed by Christian himself, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Has a bunch of cool features, a bunch of good articles in there, so make sure you guys go check them, read them. Let us know what you guys think. Make sure that you guys rate and subscribe to our podcast. Share it with your friends. Leave us a review. Would be very helpful, good or bad. All feedback is good feedback for us. Thank you guys. If you guys stuck with us this long, make sure that you guys check out our other podcast this week, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire Film Review Friday podcast. Thank you guys so much. And that's all we have for you. So as always, we are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
We always live with one simple message, and that's stay nerdy, boys.